I love Sundays.
Amen.
You probably think, preacher, you better. But I do. I look forward to Sundays. I look forward to sharing this time of worship with you. I look forward to the singing and the praise. I look forward to the privilege of looking into God's Word. And it's just a joy for God's people to come together and worship. It is a joy to know where our blessings come from. It is a joy to know that we're not walking through this life alone, but we know the God of creation. And that God that spoke everything into being cares. No, He loves you and me. And that's what we're going to study about today. We're going to study about our great God. We're going to go up on the mountain of God in the book of Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, we're going to go up on the mountain of God. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word? We're going to read 14 verses this morning. It's a little longer than usual, but bear with me because we need to look at the whole thing here. Verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the burning bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you when you have brought the people out of Egypt. You shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they will say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. Again, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Joe Hogg, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. All right. As we open this study this morning, I want to remind you the title of this sermon series, An Epic Journey. Now, we are studying the journey or the exodus of the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt as they travel to the promised land. But I want you to know that's deeper. Our study is actually deeper. I don't just want to give you the information about the children of Israel. I want us to all go on an epic journey, a journey of change, a journey of life change, where when we come out at the end of this study, we are not where we were when we started. Isn't that what a study is about? Isn't that what the Word of God is about? We get into the Word of God and we pray, change us, Lord, mature us, grow us into a better, suitable servant for you. Now today, last week we left, or we were introduced to the major players in this journey. We were introduced to the children of Israel, found them under Egyptian captivity. We were introduced to Moses, a leader in the land of Midian. And today we're going to begin our journey. Are you ready to begin our journey? All right. We're going to begin our journey on the mountain of God. That just sounds cool. Amen. I mean, that's where Moses found himself, was on the mountain of God. He was drawn there by a burning bush. And what a sight this must have been. Moses was keeping the sheep of his father-in-law on the backside of the desert. And I can just imagine he's there and, you can't be expecting anything like this. Keeping sheep on the back of the desert, a desolate place. And on the mountain of God, a place called Horeb, Moses saw something he had never seen before. A bush that was burning. Now, what was special about this bush that was burning, of course, was it was burning, but it wasn't burning up. Okay, the bush remained just as it was when it began to burn. And Moses thought, wow, what an awesome sight. I've got to see more of this. So Moses, of course, goes in for a closer look. And as he approaches this burning bush, he hears the voice of God. I've always wondered what this must have sounded like for Moses. When I was growing up, I used to love, and I still do, the Ten Commandments. Do y'all remember that show? I mean, when God spoke to Moses in that show, it was pretty cool. Moses. He had God, and I don't know. I don't know what that would have sounded like, but it had to be an awesome, humbling experience as God literally called Moses by name. Moses, Moses, Moses says, that's me, I'm here. The next words, God says, Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground you're standing on is holy ground. So Moses, of course, in the presence of God, having this conversation with God, and I want to point out to you right here, you know what made the ground holy, don't you? It wasn't because there was something special about the ground. There was something special about who was present on that mountain. What made the ground holy was they were in the presence of Almighty God Himself. Or Moses was in the presence of Almighty God Himself. And Moses is now having a one-on-one conversation with God. Just he and God. And God has literally spoke him, called him by name. And God introduces himself to Moses. And he says, Moses. Moses. I'm the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. The God that you've always heard about, the God that you've been taught about. I'm him. Yes. I am real. Can you imagine? Moses came to see an awesome sight, which was the burning bush, and Moses meets an awesome God. I mean, he's getting a lot more than he could have ever imagined. God introduces himself. I'm the God of your forefathers, Moses. And then God shares his heart. Moses, in verse 7, God shares with him. He says, Moses, I've seen the oppression of my people. I've seen what they're going through. I've heard their cry. I know their sorrows. And Moses, I have a plan. I have a plan. Moses, I'm come down to deliver them. To get them out of the land of Egypt. To take them to a good land that's flowing with milk and with honey. Where they can be my people and I'll be their God. Now let's talk about this mountain time just a little bit. You ever go on the mountain with God? Symbolically speaking. I mean, sometimes we often forget that. You know, that's kind of what I see church as. A church service, a worship service. It's a mountaintop opportunity. You know we're entering in the presence of God when we come together like this. You say, Brother Doug, how do you know that God is here? Because we have the promise of His Word. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I also. Do you realize there's more than two or three here? And we are gathered in the name of Jesus. We're not gathered to look good. We're not gathered to be good and try to keep some standard. We are gathered in the name of Jesus to honor and to worship and to glorify Him. So I want to just point out to you, if you don't take this opportunity or take advantage of this opportunity to hear from God, you've wasted and missed a good chance. This is an opportunity for the mountaintop experience. It's a good opportunity for God to get your attention, where He can talk to you one-on-one. You know, there's a lot of people here today that probably God needs to just get your attention. And He's brought you here today to get your attention. There are some of you who need to be saved, who've never established yourself or your relationship with Jesus Christ. And listen, this is your burning bush experience. This is the opportunity for God to speak to you today. This is the opportunity for your life to change so that you will know that if you die today, you could spend eternity in heaven. Okay? Even now, you know deep in your heart you've never made that life commitment. And salvation is more than some ceremony. And it's more than some preacher declaring you saved. Salvation is when you call upon the name of the Lord, seeking His salvation. It's when you get on your knees or wherever you are in prayer, realizing that you have no other hope, but you call out to Christ. Lord, save me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Listen, if you can't go back to that time where you committed your life to Christ, you need to take care of that today. What a great opportunity, because Jesus is here. Maybe you're here today and we're on this mountaintop. Wasn't the song service good? Man, I was back there for most of it and I was still blessed by it. Maybe you're here today and the song service, things that have taken place so far has stirred you. And you know that you're saved. Because you came to that point where you gave Christ your life, but you've kind of fallen away. You're on the backside of the desert. Kind of forgotten about God. Listen, brother. Listen. Time to get back. One of the saddest things that I often hear is we used to go to church. We used to go to Bible study. We used to be involved. Oh, today's the day. You are in the presence of God, and God has brought you here for a reason. To have that one-on-one communion, that special mountaintop experience. But understand, it's a two-way street. It does depend on your response to God. Moses had that mountaintop experience. Went to God, or went to see the burning bush, and God spoke to him one-on-one. And when He got him up there, He gave him a mission. I love this part. God called Moses to the mountain for a reason. Did you know that? That reason was a call to action. You see, I can see the conversation. Moses, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Okay. Moses, I'm the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Oh, this is great. Moses, I have seen the oppression of my people. And Moses, I may be taking a little liberty here, but I'm thinking on the inside of Moses is going on saying, God, it's bad over there. Lord, you're absolutely right. It's bad. Amen. God, they need help. God says, I've heard their cry. And Moses on the inside is thinking, yes, Lord, I've heard their cry myself. It is a bitter cry of bondage. They've got it so bad at those taskmasters abusing people daily. God says, I know their sorrow. Moses on the inside, yes. Oh, Lord, they're hurting. And Lord, I tried to stop it while I was there. I tried to do something about it, but God, I wound up, I had to flee for my life because they were going to kill me. Moses, to this point, is undoubtedly thinking, oh, yes, what an experience. What a great time to hear from God. And what a great message to hear from God. Until we get to verse 10. God says, Moses, I've come down to deliver my children. Moses has got to be thinking, yes. And then in verse 10, God says, and Moses, come. I'm sending you. Huh? This has got to, you know, I mean, that's got to be his response. Yes, this is exciting. God, oh, yes, God. Moses, I'm come now. I'm sending you. Huh? Nah, I didn't. God, wait a minute. I came to see a burning bush. That's all I came for. That's all I signed up for. That's all I want. Wait a minute. Moses, I'm sending you. And you can just hear the brakes squeal as Moses locks up this spiritual adventure. Yeah. Absolutely clueless. Moses went up on that mountain to see a burning bush. He never had any idea that God was getting his attention. To call him to action. And to give him a mission. You know, I said a while ago, this is a great opportunity for mountaintop experience. But most people don't understand what a mountaintop experience is about. Now I want us to stop and consider a mountaintop experience, you know, is you hear preaching and you think, all right, we got preached to today. Amen. You hear people make prayer requests. Lord, save the lost. And your prayer goes up. Lord, yes, they need to know you as their personal Savior. And you hear people make prayer requests for those who have fallen by the wayside. And you think, yes, Lord, reach out and bring those people back. We talk about praying for our government. We think, oh yes, Lord, our government is so bad. Things are so corrupt. And then we get into this situation and God says, come. I'm going to send you. Now, wait a minute. Do you realize that God just may have a call on your life? You see, the mountaintop experience is not about an emotional high. The mountaintop experience, most people view church services and this experience that I'm talking about is, oh man, we had a great time today. We had people at the altar. People walked down the aisle. The music was so good and so moving. I was just so moved. Well, I want to tell you, God doesn't move you so you can just be on an emotional high. You know why He moves us? He moves us to prepare us to go down and get with the mission. That's what He's doing to Moses. It's like, Moses, come on up the mountain. And then he says, now he's saying, okay, Moses, get off the mountain. That's what we forget. There comes a time when we're supposed to get off the mountain. There's more to service than just Sunday. There's more to spirituality than just walking down an aisle or singing good music. There's more to being in the presence of God than just having the preacher step on your toes. The presence of God is a preparation for the mission that God has for you in your life. And yes, God may not call you and send you to the other end of the world, although He may. But I want to promise you, God has called you where you are to be an example, to be a witness, and to make a difference in the lives of people that are around you. God's brought you here today, yes, to give you that mountaintop experience. Now, make no mistake. He says, and Doug, I'm sending you. And Michael, I'm sending you. And Brother Greg, I'm sending you. And He's naming everybody in this service today saying, I'm sending you to lead My people, to make a difference. See, that's what mountaintop is about. You go up and you be with God, and yes, it's special and it's just so moving, but you go up to get your marching orders, to get the direction on, God, what am I supposed to do? You may be here right now and this message has touched a nerve because God's calling you to preach. You're thinking, who, me? God knows what He's doing. It's your job to say yes. You may be here today and God's put a burden on your heart to witness to somebody you're working with. And you're thinking, oh, not me. I'm afraid I'll do something wrong. God knows what He's doing. He's called you. If you are His child, He has called you. Now get off the mountain. Get off the mountain and respond to God's call for you to make a difference. Then I love the way that God answered every one of Moses' questions. I absolutely love this. Moses said, and Moses is like us. He's human. He's human. He's responding to God when God says, I'm going to send you. And Moses says, God, who am I? Who am I that I should go before Pharaoh? See, Moses had a confidence problem. Moses had gone from being the self-appointed Savior 40 years earlier, where he killed the Egyptian and was taking control and taking things in his own hands. And now, after fleeing for his life and spending 40 years keeping sheep, he has a confidence problem. And he said, God, who am I that I, this lowly shepherd guy on the backside of nowhere, that all I've done for the last 40 years, God, is keep sheep. Who am I that I'm going to go before the most powerful man in the world and say, let my people go? Who am I? God, who am I? Who am I, Lord, that I should go before the masses of Israel, that they would listen to me, that I go and they say, y'all are supposed to follow me? Who am I that they're going to follow me, God? I'm nothing more than a shepherd. Why would they follow me? And God gives the answer. God says, Moses, I will be with you. Do you know that's enough? I hear people all the time with that question. And that question is not such a bad question. Because if you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to have to answer the question, who am I? And they say, you know, I just can't do that. I've heard preachers say, well, I just can't preach. You can, if God is with you. If God calls you, you can do it. I've heard people say, well, I just can't witness. You can, if God is with you. I can't be a deacon. I can't teach a Sunday school class. I can't. Yes, you can. The first answer to the question of your life is, how can I? The answer to that question is God. That's how you can. That's the way you want it to be. Okay? And that's what Moses said. Who am I? How can I? Lord, I'm no one. Absolutely right. But Moses, I'll be with you. You're not going to do it alone. Love Paul's words in Romans 8:31. You remember the verse? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is on your side, if He's called you, if He's with you, it doesn't matter if the devil himself stands in front of you. He cannot stop God. You need to know the answer to this question. Who are you? You just need to be the one that's answering God's call. Second question he had. Who am I? God, who am I? And God, who are you? Who are you, God? You see, Moses said, well, God, what if they ask me when I go and I talk to them, and if they ask me, who sent you? And God said, if they ask you that question, you tell them, I am who I am. You tell them, the I am has sent you. Now, that's pretty self-explanatory. Amen. Y'all got that? It is awesome. Absolutely awesome, the meaning of that. And you need to know this. See, the question is not what's God's name. Okay? Moses knew God's name, and the children of Israel knew God's name. It was Yahweh. It's been since the time of Abraham. They always knew His name. But the idea behind that question is, God, they're going to ask me what characteristic, what quality, what significance is in your name that will help us in these circumstances that we're in. They're going to ask me, God, how can you help? It's actually what they're asking. And then God answers that question. He says, tell them, I am, has sent you. You see, He's answering the question of how can you help? God's saying, here's how I can help. You need to deliver, deliverer, I am. You need a Savior, I am. You need somebody to be with you each step of the journey, I am. As a matter of fact, I'm so much I am that I was the I am when the earth was created. I was there. I was there when I called Abraham. I was the I am. I was there as Joseph saved the children of Israel. I was there when he delivered them from the famine. And I'm here now. And I'll be here when it's all said and done. I am the I am. If you want to know how God, or how you can accomplish what the call that God has for your life, this is it. I am. God is appropriate for whatever you're facing. It's the bottom line there. He was here at the beginning. He'll be here at the ending. What do you need today? Do you need to be saved? He is. He is the Savior. Do you need to repent because you've fallen by the wayside? He is the avenue of repentance and restoration. Do you need help because you're carrying a heavy load? He is the one that says, come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. What do you need today? He is. He told Moses, you tell them the I am is sending you. Now I want to ask you this question. What do you need today? We've been here on the mountaintop. We know we're in the presence of God. We've come to understand that that mountaintop experience is more than just an emotional high. We go to the mountaintop to get our marching orders, to get our direction from God. And then we come to the point of having our questions answered. How can we do this great mission, God, you have called us to? Because of the I am. Now, what do you need today? The good news is, whatever you need, He is. He is. If you're going to go on this journey, if we're going to go on this journey of maturity, of growing in Christ, you're going to have to come to a knowledge of God as the I am, being the answer for everything in your life. He's the right answer. If you need to be saved, we're going to have a verse of invitation. I'm going to invite you to come to Jesus. If you've fallen by the wayside, time for a rededication, I'm going to invite you, come. Come to the I Am. If you need to join this church, I'm going to invite you. You come. Whatever the need is, right now is the time. God is calling. Your responsibility is very simply to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And to respond. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the look into your word. And we thank you for the example that we've studied today. Thank you, Lord, that there is a time of mountaintop experience where we can commune with you and fellowship with you. And where you commune and fellowship with us, giving us our marching orders, giving us our direction. Oh, Lord, may we be willing to say yes. And may we have a full understanding that you are the great I Am, the one that enables us, the one that provides the strength and the ability that's needed to serve you. Now, Lord, we just pray that to commit this invitation to you. I pray that no move will be made other than us saying yes to your call. That it not be, Lord, about anything but saying yes to you right now. And I pray that we'd all say yes. In Jesus' name.